This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and today I'm speaking to Ang Hui Ming from Leaderonomics. This is the first Monday of the month, so they are back. Thank you for speaking to me today.
Hey, morning, Christine. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, you've chosen to talk about the topic of competition for today's Leaderonomics show. What are your general thoughts on competition?
When I hear the word competition, sometimes I squirm and roll my eyes thinking, you know, not another competition. And I really refer to this because there's a lot of such competitions out there, different competitions for awards. And I have kids, so in school, there's tons of competitions that the kids go for, from debate to singing to art and a whole lot of it, right? So the word competition really sets off many differing opinions. And sometimes they say it's good, it's bad. Some argue it encourages excellence and innovation, while others say it's kind of an evil that destroys self-esteem, right, and sometimes leads to conflicts. Some time back, you know, I read in an article when it featured the then U.S. President, Mr. Barack Obama, and he was imparting life advice to a group of young people where he said, you know, when you all have kids, it's important to let them win. But then again, he added with a smile and saying that, you know, only until they're a year old, at which point you can start winning again. Really, in that few sentences, it encapsulated my thoughts exactly, because I strongly believe that competition is important to nurture a winning mindset and confidence in kids and also adults alike. And establishing confidence, you know, enables people to try more, to strive more for excellence and believe that they can do better. But at the same time, I also know that once the belief and confidence is built, we do have to teach people about losing and failure in competition and how to bounce back. Yeah, I use kids more often because it's easily relatable. You know, however, you know, it also applies to leaders in organizations, where I believe the same concept applies to our people. You know, imagine the early stages of those who enter the workforce in their early careers. How can we use competition to set them up with a winning mindset that can take them far in their careers in life? In Leaderonomics, we have this thing called Science of Building Leaders. It's a framework and the research that was done with over 100 global leaders and 48 leaders in Malaysia. And we found that all these leaders had a common trait where they were very active in competitive sports, they thrived in competitive environments, had early exposure to competition in their childhood, and were very competitive with themselves also. So it kind of showed that at a young foundational age, competition is pretty important to establish as a necessary belief system in an individual that will set them up for life challenges ahead. Yeah. And to confirm our study, we also ran a survey with parents, a diverse group of parents. We found that 24% had a negative perception of competition, seeing it as unnecessary or unhealthy. 62% said that it was good and positive and necessary to have, where about 34% kind of answered, you know, it depends.
Right. Is the competitive spirit innate, or is it possible to learn to be competitive as well?
Well, interesting. There is a lot of research and articles out there that actually shows that humans' competitive nature is actually innate in the sense that we are born with it. I think this also not only applies to humans, but actually all living creatures. If you ever observe around us, right, you know, if you look at animals, we constantly compete for resources. They compete for food, water, land, and sometimes even to the extent of mating partners, right? And even plants, they compete also for a spot to gain sunlight, you know, for survival. So likewise, a lot of research will show that humans do have an innate competitive nature. And if I were to observe even my young son, he's only about 8 months old, and he's already started to display a competitive nature, even though he's just a baby. And when it comes to his food, you know, he will fight for it. He will actually compete with the elder sisters to ensure that he gets his portion. So having said that it's innate, I do believe that it's also important to acknowledge that there may be different forms of the innate desire to compete. One form that I've observed is competition itself. And in this form is where one wants to continuously challenge their own limits to see how far they can go. So it's more a competition with your own self limits. Yeah? And I term this kind of the competition for growth, betterment, expertise, and a mastery of something. And there's the other form, another form of an innate competition, where it's more where you can see how you can outdo another. And this is more where I kind of term the competition for survival and for winning. I can give an example. Again, I'm going to just use my kids as a very simple example, right? So my eldest daughter, okay, when she's 8, she loves to enter competitions. I don't know why, but she loves it, right? Okay. But the funny thing is she's not actually interested in winning it, and she doesn't really care who wins. In fact, she's very happy when her friends actually win certain competitions. So for the longest time, you know, I struggled with why she would even bother to compete when she doesn't strive to win. Now, recently, during the MCO, I kind of discovered a secret there. So she pestered me to subscribe to an app. It's called Simply Piano. And she started to use it every day on her own accord and practicing the piano. But each day as it grew, she continued to tell us how she managed to complete this song, how she managed to break a different level, how she was getting stars and medals in the process. And she started to boast about how she went from a beginner level to a medium level to an expert level on different songs. And so I suddenly realized that she was actually really very competitive. However, not with others, but with herself.
Hmm.
So if she strives and gets motivated to do more when she unlocks different level of expertise and mastery of a song. And so she is a classic example of one that I call has an innate competitive nature with self. And some people call this the intrinsic motivations that drive one to compete.
Hmm.
On the flip side, my second daughter, she's Steven, she's only 5. And she is what a lot of laymen would call a sore loser. Okay? She cannot stand losing to her sister or her cousin or even the neighbors, right? And she loves competing to outdo others. And I could easily tell this because imagine if other people are playing with a specific toy. She would want that same toy and she would want to play it even longer than the rest. But when that toy is left on the floor, when no one's playing it, she wouldn't care less for it. If you paint a picture and we say it's beautiful, she gets really pleased. However, if we say that, oh, it's really, really nice and it's nicer than someone else, I can see that she beams with ultimate pride and would ask her to confirm it again at what she heard. And I think that that's kind of a walking example of the second form of innate competition where one really wants to compete to outdo others.
Mm.
And some researchers actually call this the extrinsic motivations that drives one to compete, yeah. I think it's important to really understand whether they're parents or just an organization, which competitive form that's innate motivates an individual so that we can actually know how to support and how to help them succeed by exposing them to the right competitive environment.
If competition is innate, I know plenty of people who claim that they're not competitive people at all. So what is the reason behind that? Like, why are some people more competitive than others?
Right, that's another great question, actually. So even though we say the competition is innate, right, then like you said, there is a degree of competitiveness. Some are more competitive than the rest, right? So the degree of competitiveness is not what I call innate, but it's something that I believe is learned, and it's molded by one's environment. So and there are many factors that could actually influence one's degree of competitiveness. Maybe I can just highlight a couple of it, mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of studies have shown, believe it or not, that birth order, which is not within one's control, actually does influence the degree of competitiveness one has, right? So studies have shown that actually the firstborn, typically, it's not absolute, right, appear to be less competitive versus their younger siblings. You know, and that the most competitive just by birth order is typically the second child, or the middle child who has to compete for attention or approval more than the oldest child and also the youngest child. So we see that this is, you know, kind of associated because younger siblings, they have a difference in age, physical size and strength, and always have to learn how to compete or to stand up to someone bigger who can speak better than them. And so at an early age, right, sibling rivalry is one of the best training grounds for the degree of competitiveness that one has in life. Another factor would actually be what we call the family upbringing. The family, the upbringing environment, or the people involved in a person's childhood. Parental influence. Parental influence and their belief of whether competition is good will actually influence the child at an early age. And it actually influences them to either avoid competition or to embrace competition. So parents, we do really have, but parents and guardians have a very huge role to play in the degree of competitiveness for children. You know, things like how many games do we play with our kids that instill competition? How do parents react or guardians react when their child wins or loses a game? Do we create a safe environment for a child to fail and to teach them while they do that, or is a child reprimanded and punished for losing in a competition. All these different actions actually kind of molds the child's degree of competitiveness and also the willingness to take risks. So I think the more supportive the family environment is, the more confident is a child to take on competition in their life and also in future years, right? Another factor will actually be, the third factor is kind of exposure to external competitive opportunities. So again, one's degree of competitiveness can be influenced by how much exposure they have to being in competitive environments, whether it's games or sports, school competition, or even exposure to role models who are competitive or who are successful in life as well. The more chances that one has to participate in this environment, the more competent one gets in actually handling competition or even challenges later on in life. Yeah. So as parents, if we want to help our kids improve their degree of competitiveness and ability to manage competition, we should really be aware of the two items, which is more the family upbringing and the influence we have on them, plus providing them with a lot of opportunities to be exposed to it. And the same goes for leaders in organizations on how we can play the supportive role to our people for them to compete better and to be able to expose them to more opportunities as well.
All right. Well, this has been Ankui Ming from Leadernomics on Raise Your Game so far. We're going to take a short break, but after that, we'll continue talking about the nature of competition. So do stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Begin fun moments. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9. My name is Christine Wong, and today I'm speaking to Anhui Ming from Leadernomics. And we've been talking about the nature of competition. We've discussed the fact that competition can have two forms. You can be competitive with yourself and also with others, how that motivates different people. And generally speaking, most people seem to see competition as a pretty good thing. But my next question for you is that there is competitiveness that is helpful and competitiveness that is somewhat less helpful. How do you identify what is a helpful competitive environment and what is a harmful competitive environment?
All right. So like what you said, Christine, right? I guess it's the context of the competition that makes it what we call healthy or unhealthy, or like you say, helpful competition or harmful competition, right? So there are a couple of elements that I typically use when I kind of use it to help me to decide whether it's a helpful or a harmful and competitive environment for people to go into or to even expose our people to. One of it that I typically look at really is the intent and the focus of the competition. And I say in two points, to check the person going into the competition, their own intent, and also the intent of the competition environment itself. So helpful competition is one that is focused on outdoing the competitor, so it's still outdoing, all right, for self-betterment and for growth. And it also focuses more on character building the process of the competition, whether one wins or even loses. So it kind of is an environment and the intent seeks to edify and to build. Now, on the other hand, harmful competition is one that is focused solely on the result, that's the result of winning, and is done in the spirit to outdo the competitor again, but this time to crush, to belittle the opponent, and that is more mentally detrimental to both the winner and even the losing party. This type of intent or focus sticks more to tear down at whatever cost and sometimes at the sacrifice of ethics. And this is where we typically see conflict arise and lots of backstabbing. But the question is sometimes how do you gauge, check the intent of the competition, right? One gauge that we can actually use is to actually ask yourself and to actually check out the environment is to see is there respect or is there resentment for the opponent or the competitor. Yeah. Let me tell a story that I've kind of read and I've also seen it on The Tonight Show. It's kind of the story of Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm. We both know that they are both authority figures in movies, you know. So in Tonight Show, Sylvester Stallone was the guest and he said that, you know, over a decade in the 80s, he and Arnold Schwarzenegger actually hated each other. They used the word hate, you know, because that's exactly how it was. There was fierce competition and they were dead set to outdo each other. It was kind of like an all-out war. So what did they compete on, right? It was a competition of who has the most muscle, who kills the most people on screen, who has bigger guns, who kills in the most unique way, you know, who makes more money at the box office. Sylvester Stallone comes out with Rambo, Arnold Schwarzenegger comes out with Commando. So it was neck to neck, and in that interview, you know, it said it consumed them. The media consumed them. It fueled their rivalry. They managed, their managers fueled their rivalry and resentment for each other continued to grow. It was mentally overwhelming, and they knew it was really eating them up. Somewhere in the 90s, they somehow matured and were smart enough to say, let's stop this. And what happened is that they started doing movies together and found that they had a great time actually working together because they were so similar in their competitive nature. So as they started to build rapport and relationship, and they saw how much effort each other started to put in to how to get where they were, they started to form a respect for each other. Yeah, and when they started to respect each other and see each other as a worthy opponent, the competition took a turn from wanting to crush the opponent to wanting to do better so that they can actually propel each other to the next level. Mm. So that's kind of if you imagine, right, how resentment became more of respect and how a harmful competitive environment actually turns into more what we call a helpful one instead.
Right.
Yeah. Even in Simon Sinek's book, The Infinite Game, he advised leaders who want to kind of develop an infinite mindset and to continue to grow, to find themselves what we call a worthy opponent, one that they will respect and that will spur them to improve and better themselves every day.
Hmm.
So watch out for these two things, you know. You go into a competitive environment, is there respect that makes a person a worthy opponent and makes it a helpful competition? Or is there resentment that fuels hatred and fear towards the opponent that becomes a harmful type of competition? If you're aware of this too, I think it's something that we can also consider how do we ensure that we put people in more helpful competitions rather than harmful, yeah?
Right. So, I'd just like to ask you, how do these helpful or harmful competitive environments manifest in the workplace? When you look at a workplace, how can you identify what kind of competitive environment it is?
So I think in the workplace, besides, you know, looking at it as like there's a competition between two different opponents, I would say that competition at the workplace, we need to embrace it as something that does it actually increase competence of people in the workplace, or does it actually decrease confidence? You know, so we frequently see that the base word of competition, we typically think of it as the word compete, right? But actually, in the same word of competition, there lies the other word called competence. Yeah. So in the workplace, I really believe that competition that builds competence is good. Yeah. Competition is not a bad thing in the workplace. It's just lack of competence is a bad thing. And if you want to compete, we always tell people then you brush up on your competence. You know. As long as competition in the workplace is the intent, I'll go back to intent also. It actually sets people to improve their competence or their competencies and their skills, then that's a helpful environment and that's something that we actually promote. However, if we start to see signs where there is actually backstabbing or conflict arising, that's when we actually start to think, you know, is it helpful or does it actually decrease competence or does it actually even demotivate people that performance actually is affected as well? Yeah. So something to be aware when we talk about building competence using competition is that helpful competitive environments is actually one where we actually set the thing to achieve, the winning result or the end result to achieve, just set it just above what we call the individual's competence level, so that people going into that competitive environment in the workplace are able to break those limits that confines them and to achieve the next level of competence. If competence levels of competitions or what we call sometimes expectations in the workplace is set too low, it's boring and it does nothing for an individual's competence building. However, on the flip side, if we put what we call the competence level and expectations way too high, it actually sets people going into the competitive environment up for failure, right? Which is detrimental and is demotivating. So this term that typically happens in a workplace, we call it the stretch assignment, stretch projects and everything, things that stretches people's competence. It needs to be handled correctly and not to be abused because, like I said, when you stretch people to build their competence, you stretch them from one level to the next level, from comfort zone to the courage zone, right, to the competence zone. But when we put stretch limits, you know, and call it competition and call it, you know, challenge yourself to go further and we stretch it too high, it actually can cause someone to believe that they are incompetent, inadequate, and could cause mental breakdowns if it's not managed well. So I guess that's something that we need to be aware as leaders, you know, for competition in the workplace. How do we set it? How do we make sure it's set up for success and not to actually tear someone down?
Right. And as one of my final questions here, competition is clearly important, as we've discussed in this interview so far. But it seems to, in theory, come into conflict with another quality that is highly prized in many organizations, which is collaboration. And, you know, what you're saying in the notes that I have here is that competition and collaboration actually work hand in hand instead of against each other. How does that work?
And so, interestingly, like I said, people think that competition kills collaborations, right? Even in the workplace, yeah. However, more and more, we see that actually helpful competitive environments actually promote cooperation and also collaboration in the workplace. More and more, we see that even in the workplace, right? Let's say workplace, let's, for example, a function like sales, right? A function like sales, it used to be very solo, very individually driven, where there's individual sales targets. Today, many organizations have flipped this whole individual targets thing to saying that to reward teams for achieving the targets more than the individuals achieving personal targets. So what happens is that collaboration in competition is a partner for greater achievement. And it's not just in workplace, but we see the education system. More and more team sports are actually introduced in schools because together they come, they, you know, as you play together as a team and you win together as a team, so there's both competition and collaboration in it. It actually gives a lot more life lessons into the individual that's in it. And at the same time, it actually has proven that a lot more better results come out when there's collaboration in the competition itself. So they're actually more hand-in-hand and they actually oppose each other. So a lot of people say that, the opposite of competition is that, you know, it's collaboration. But instead of saying that, I really think that the opposite and the enemy of competition is actually complacency, right? In the absence of competition is when complacency sets in. And that would really be the killer of any progress or growth of an individual. You know, of all companies, as you say, you know, if there was a monopoly in the whole economy, the nation and the business would flag in progress. And, you know, that's where I think complacency is something that's even more worrying than what we call a lack of collaboration or cooperation.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Yeah. But thank you very much, Hui Ming, for speaking to me all about competition today.
Nice speaking to you today as well, Christine.
All right. I've been speaking to Ang Hui Ming from Leaderonomics about competition today on Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.